Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store all my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have been prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, blessed Sunday, and good morning to everyone. So also next weekend, not only do we have this missionary sister coming, but we're running a special promotion here at St. Mary's. For the first 100 people at the 10 a.m. Mass, we will hand out $10,000. First 100 people at those doors coming into Mass, 10 a.m., $10,000 is yours. And following that Mass, at the 12 p.m. Mass, we're also running another promotion. For the first 100 people, you will receive Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe. Which Mass will be fuller? There's only burritos at the NAA Mass. You must love burritos, brother. But let's be real. My goodness, if word spread that the first 100 people at the 10 a.m. Mass would receive $10,000, this place would be packed. People would be fighting in the parking lot. It'd be like a Black Friday sale. Just people just cowering in, trying to squeeze themselves in here. Oh, you better believe it, this place would be full. And this silly example, by the way, I'm kidding. You will not get $10,000 next Sunday. But the silly example illustrates we love money, don't we? We love it. And it's not just our problem, by the way. The problem is ancient. And all of the readings today are zeroing in on that disordered attachment that we all have. And as I was praying over these readings, the question became, why? Why do we love money so much? Have you pondered that question? Why? What does it give us? It obviously provides something for us. Because how many of us, and we all know this well, how many of you have ever been robbed before? Your house broken into or your car? Oh, many of us have. How many of us have been lied to, cheated upon, scammed? Oh, how many people have been even killed for money. Why do we love money so much? I think it's two things. As I was praying about it, this pithy little saying came to mind, why I love money so much. It's because of comfort and the crown. Comfort and the crown. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it. When we have possessions and money, what does it give us? Well, isn't there a sense of comfort that comes with it? We're surrounded by all of our possessions, and there's a sense of safety that it gives us, and rightly so. Just like the man in the gospel today, who was looking at his vast wealth, says, I need to do something. I have too much, so let me build bigger barns to accommodate my harvest in order to store it. And then he says, now I've built my barns, and let me eat, drink, rest, and be merry. And there's a sense of comfort, and rightly so. And it's beautiful, especially here in the United States. My gosh, we live in the most prosperous, most powerful country that's ever existed. None of us in here are worrying about what we're going to have for lunch today after Father Brian stops talking, right? We all have beds, clothes, homes. We'll all be okay. We all know that. And the crown. There's a sense of importance that we get from our possessions, doesn't it? It makes me feel that I'm worth something, that I'm of value, because I've accumulated and I've done well in my life, and rightly so. It's good. There's a good sense of pride we should have for being excellent. And there's a sense of dignity, because I guarantee you, oh gosh, you intuitively you sense if somebody rich came here and versus somebody poor off the street, who immediately will we say is, quote unquote, better? Well, the rich one. Comfort and crown. Our Lord today in all of the readings tells us this desire that we have to accumulate and to amass possessions and more and more and more, he's trying to reorder it. Because in and of itself, money is not bad. It is not bad. But rather, as 1 Timothy 6:10 says, what is the root of all evil? The root cause. Not burritos like the 8 a.m. mass, right? No. Rather, the love of money is the root of all evil. In the first reading today from the book of Ecclesiastes, we have King Solomon. King Solomon has made that internal switch in his heart. He recognizes and sees through the illusion that money gives us. What does Solomon say in that first reading, this famous reading? Vanities, oh vanities. All things are vanity. That word that King Solomon uses as he's walking around his palace as the king, he's looking at the vast wealth, the silver, the gold, everything, you name it. I mean, he's king. He has everything. He's beyond wealthy. He's almost like a Saudi Arabian king, right? Wealth beyond measure. But he's made the switch. Vanity, oh vanities, all things are vanity. That word that he uses here in Hebrew is havel. It literally has a connotation of vapor, smoke. That everything that he has as lavish, it all goes away, fades. And he's walking around and he says, smoke. And his heart is striving, as St. Paul today beautifully says in the second reading, challenging all of us. Brothers and sisters, you were raised in Christ. Seek what is above. You see, why is he saying this? Well, because we all know it. Because this internal battle that now rages in every single human heart. Again, as I said, it's nothing new. It harkens all the way back to Genesis. Do you remember? Immediately after Adam and Eve fell, what happened? Well, the story of Cain and Abel comes into play, the two brothers. Because immediately after after original sin, what God had implemented was that every single person had to give a percentage of their income back to God. From the very beginning. It's strange. So the fall happens, original sin, and then immediately, right after that, give me 10% of your income. Why? Is God broke? Is God like a gangster? Is God like the cartel or the mob that we have to give him a certain percentage of our money? Why? So it's something deeper. And hence why Cain hated his brother Abel when they gave their possessions back to God a certain percentage. It said that God looked more favorably upon Abel's offering versus Cain's. Because Cain held back. Why? Well, because if we find our comfort and crown in earthly things, what's going to happen within the human heart? If our value and our comfort is found in those things, notice this, when we are all worldly, when we're worldly and our lives are based on those things, is it not true that our lives and days are filled with sorrow and grief, and that our minds are never at rest? Why? Because we're always worried about our things and how to keep accumulating things, and we're worried about the stock market, we're worried about interest rates, will the Fed reduce it, or will the Fed increase it? So we're just worried about all these different things. And so Cain was worried about it. And as we all know, once we're rooted in the earth, this is where jealousy and rivalry and stealing and lying comes into play. And so Cain was furious at Abel, jealous. And the first recorded murder in human history commences. Our Lord today says to us, guard against this greed, which is idolatry. How? And now this is where the challenging part of the readings come into play. And let's get deep. Let's ask ourselves. Out of the many gifts and blessings which God has given every single one of us, how much do we give back to Him? How much do we give back to God? How much of our income do we give back to Him? Again, I'm not just talking about St. Mary's. No. I'm talking about, how do we use our income to give back to a charitable organization? You find an organization that you believe in, that you've done your research on, that does great work. Do we give our money for others? Because all of the readings point here today is that, are we using our blessings, our gifts, in love? See, that's the difference right there. See, the parable today is this man, he's using it for himself, all the blessings. Cain, using all of his blessings and his gifts for himself. But Jesus is saying, no. Rather, use it for love. Because after original sin, what had happened, we had found, before original sin, we found our comfort and our dignity in relationship to God. The life of the Trinity. That's where we found our comfort and crown originally. But then when sin broke the relationship, and that gaping hole in the human heart now commences, what is the immediate low-hanging fruit that we fill the hole? possessions, money, more things, more cars, more clothes, more jewelry, more whatever. Havel, vanity. And so we find our love in ourselves. Jesus knows that about us. And the cure is be more radically generous with the gifts he has given us. However much you give back to God, again, whether it's St. Mary's, the Food Locker, St. Vincent de Paul, or whatever charitable organization you deem fit, give out of sacrifice rather than surplus wealth. You see, if we're giving from our surplus wealth, we're never going to get any of the spiritual benefits that Jesus offers, because it doesn't hurt. If I'm a billionaire and I give $100,000 to St. Mary's, I'm going to say, praise God, right? Well, spiritually, on this person's giving, they get nothing out of it because it hurts them nothing at all. So it's not so much the amount, but rather, whatever we give, the deep spiritual root is, it has to sting. Because that pain is our ego dying. And I'll end here, one final note. A man like King Solomon, who had made that eternal switch and saw through the illusion of our possessions and power and money, is the founder of Domino's Pizza. The story of Domino's Pizza, it's a great story. It was founded by a man named Tom Monahan. When he was a young man in Michigan, he noticed a pattern. A great secret of the universe, that college students love pizza. And not only that, they love cheap pizza delivered to their door. He revolutionized the delivery of pizza. He had the whole saying of, if it's under 20 minutes, or if it's over 20 minutes, it's free. Remember that whole story back in the day when we were young? He revolutionized delivery of pizza. And he built this Domino's empire. That word domino means in Latin, Lord. So he's a good Catholic boy. When Tom Monahan sold Domino's Pizza, he sold it for over $1 billion. $1 billion. And you know what Tom Monahan said? He said, my goal for the rest of my life is that I want to die a poor man. He's one of the greatest Catholic philanthropists in the United States now. Funds, religious orders, parishes. He even started Ave Maria University just outside of Naples, Florida. He built a whole new Catholic town out of the swamp. Because he understands, we take nothing with us home. And so now Jesus tells us, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. My friends, Jesus challenges us, use our possessions for love.